This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You notice how grumpy Chris takes on a under-earth aspect as we progress. All right, they have heightened senses.
Yeah.
In what sense? Which is a bad pun.
Think about it. Like, you know, a bat's develop, you know, really good sonar, sense of hearing, so to speak, you know, because vision is limited. So the eyes aren't so and honestly, I do not know how this plays into here they have this technology and they're flying these things around. I mean, I couldn't tell you how that plays into that. All I can say is what my dad told me. You know, what's interesting about that technology is the description of what he said that the guy wielded. He wielded a tube about a foot long, 12 or so inches long, this what looked like just a tube, and he had pointed it at the guy, the Air Force guy standing next to my dad, and it essentially shut the man down. It killed him. But it was like he just flipped off the neuro-electro impulses of the human body, and the guy just dropped dead on the ground beside him. And what's interesting is when you read, like, you know, the Shaver material and all this other material, the fiction that has been written in the Hollow Earth stories and stuff, they talk about that very thing, these tubes or these crystal things. And in my book, I'm exploring the fact that that did indeed exist in this literature. And I'll be analyzing, did my dad get this from that? Or, you know, is it something that is true and real? And the people who had written the fiction had, you know, some source or access to what was really down there. You know, yeah, it's questions I'll be exploring, you know, that I am right now in my research.
Now, and I understand here a lot of the fantasy fiction covered some of this. One example is Edgar Rice Burroughs, who posited a civilization under the earth in his Pellucidar stories. But then they would go through the holes of the poles, which Palmer later grabbed and used for
actually in Burroughs, David Innes and Abner Perry, they did that drilling machine, if you recall, that moling thing, because by the time Burroughs wrote those books, his first Pellucidar book, the polar explorers had already, you know, pretty much found and proven that there were no giant holes at the poles. So
I remember the early books, and
yeah,
they went like a balloon or something to the inner earth from the holes at the poles.
No, not Burroughs, because
yes, absolutely. You read the first first Pellucidar story. Look it up.
It was at the Earth's core, and they do a drilling machine. The big drill is on the nose cone.
Yeah, I think it was Jules Verne that had him going in a balloon, wasn't it?
Yeah, that does sound like Verne. But by the time Burroughs was doing his, the polar exploration had already. And I don't mean to be a pain in the butt about this and contradict, but I just got done researching this stuff and reminding myself and pulling out my old Burroughs book. So that's why it's fresh in my mind.
Well, I know they tried to make movies from it, and they didn't come out too well.
Right. Oh, the At the Earth's Core movie, it's just wonderfully god-awful.
You see, this is a problem. Other than Tarzan, which rarely covered the actual character the way he was portrayed in the book.
True.
Although I think there's a Tarzan remake now that tries to do it.
Yeah.
Now, rather than debate this any further, I did look it up. You know, Tarzan went to the Earth's core. In Tarzan at the Earth's core, he went to Pellucidar, and the way he got there was an airship constructed to penetrate Pellucidar via the natural polar opening connecting the outer and inner worlds. In other words, the holes at the poles. Let's drop it there, okay? All the stuff that Burroughs wrote, they did very badly with. They brought John Carter to a movie, Disney. But they spent a lot of money in the special effects. It wasn't a bad movie, But the marketing, they had no clue. They had no clue how to sell this thing. And I think if they maybe pushed it a little better.
Well, there's been a book written about the controversy, potential scandal of what Disney did to that John Carter movie, because when they were in the middle of development going into production, Disney then buys Lucasfilm. And there was one particular executive who just really wanted this John Carter thing to go away. He was all turned on about now they own Star Wars and he's more excited about Star Wars. And it's a whole thing. I think the book is titled The Gods of Mars, and it's all about how Disney apparently tanked their own film. And then the irony is, it turns out the year that it was released on DVD, it was the number one selling DVD movie of that year. So now there's even talk about maybe doing another John Carter film. But, you know, finally, at last, when Burroughs is getting a big budget treatment, the darn studio screws it up and drops the ball.
It seemed the way that John Carter went to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different in the book, because it was almost like a remote viewing kind of thing where he's lying.
Right.
His body is lying on Earth, but somehow he transports himself,
yeah,
his essence, to Mars, whereas in the movie they were using some kind of machine.
You're right. In the film, there was some type of technology. It's been a while since I've seen the film.
It was some medallion or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was something like that. Whereas Gene's, you know, right, in the book, it was all mind power. He was able to send his physical self there.
He wished to go to Mars. He wished himself to go to Mars.
When you wish upon a planet.
It was like he sent a facsimile. He faxed himself.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to underground fantasy and stories, my favorite was always the Torok, Son of Stone, which one of our listeners sent me every issue of that comic book. I remember I just loved those comic books when I was a kid.
Well, you know, and I've been looking for, in the 70s, when they, putting Burroughs out was popular, with all those Frazetta covers. And, you know, there was a series called Gore. You remember that? G-O-R is how it was spelled. But Gore was kind of a combination, I don't want to call it a ripoff, but of Burroughs and Robert E. Howard's Conan. There was all that good stuff, and it just kind of...
So the superhero was battling global warming?
What? Oh, wrong Gore.
Oh,
this Gore was more of the you know, the Conan John Carter mix, you could say. Scantily clad native ladies on the covers and monsters, just like the Burrows and the.
Well, the hotter it gets, the more the clothes come off. You know.
That's right. That's right. That's what they say.
Well, they had all these creatures running around in loincloths and everything. He had this thing about everybody has loincloths.
Uh-huh.
John Carter and the people who went down to Pellucidar, and Carson of Venus, I think, that did the same thing there. Of course, Venus,
mm-hmm,
it was so hot your hair would boil, but then, you know, what can I say?
That's what they tell us, anyway.
Turok and his sidekick were in beach clothes, I remember.
Yeah. They tell us Venus is too hot to be there, but do we really know?
It might be a complete mistake. You almost think, when you read some of these Pulp Fiction stories, that maybe Doc Savage has some relationship to a hidden place.
Mm-hmm.
They're making a movie, by the way, of Doc Savage featuring The Rock.
Well, I hope that it happens, because, you know, there's been talk of that off and on for a few years, and that could be really cool.
So, neighbors, are you getting a little bit tired of pushing or tapping the fast-forward button when you listen to the PowerCast? Maybe you're not in favor of commercials. Well, we have a way of getting rid of them for subscribers of the PowerCast Plus. Just check out plus.thepowercast.com. That's plus.thepowercast.com. Here's how it works. You sign up, you get the special version of the show with higher resolution audio, free of the network ads. You also get the After the PowerCast podcast, which is a special show for a half hour or an hour. And we feature extended interviews, we feature color commentary, we feature whatever occurs to us. That's what makes After the PowerCast unique. And it's uncensored, by the way, neighbors. I won't get into any more of that. Uncensored. We also have show transcripts. We're going to start the classic episodes very shortly, commercial-free. Lots more to come. Plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We'll cover Doc Savage and more with Walter Bosley and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hi, Peter Porcaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add New Harvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
If you have sleep apnea and you're tired of dragging around your big, bulky home CPAP device wherever you travel, what I'm about to tell you may sound too good to be true. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. Even better, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for a full 10 days. Call us now, 1-800-940-5473. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Transcend is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. It's true. You can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere, anytime you want. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 10-day in-home trial. 1-800-940-5473. That's 1-800-940-5473.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, The Rock as Doc Savage. Now, they say that because it was one of the early characters, Street and Smith Publications in the early 30s, that a lot of the ideas later crafted into Superman came from Doc Savage. Now, Street and Smith, by the way, also premiered the fictional character who influenced Batman, and that, of course, was the Shadow.
Yes.
Right. Well, wouldn't it be Rock Savage? Wouldn't that be, get around some copyright issues, just call him Rock Savage?
Does he go by The Rock still, or is he Dwayne now and everything?
He still goes by both. A credit says Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
But everybody calls him The Rock.
This is not a Hollywood name, though, Dwayne. It's just,
Dwayne.
I don't know. It just doesn't. We were a wrestling hero.
That's why,
named
that's
Dwayne.
Why he called him, it's why he called himself The Rock.
Whereas Doc Savage's real name was Clark Savage, and that's where Clark Kent came from.
Oh, okay.
Clark Savage Jr., and when they created this superhero character, they made him Clark Kent in his civilian life.
I love tracing the influences of popular literature and film and stuff. It's always fun to examine that and watch the development of, you know, the later, you know, something crystallizes into, you know, the concept that's the big success. Like, you know, Indiana Jones, of course, was the crystallization of a lot that came before that. And it's always fun to see how that develops. A few years ago, a company did reprints of the old Street and Smith original publications of the Doc Savage stories, and they were available for a while, but now they are very hard to find.
It's interesting, though, too, that when you research, say, Burroughs and his influences for Pellucidar, he's looking into early literature about a hollow earth.
Yes.
A lot of times they took fact and they crafted their fiction from it. So this is something that's been going on for years and years about an under-earth civilization.
Exactly.
With all sorts of strange capabilities. And when we get back to the Roswell thing, inevitably we're circling back to that. All right, your father was told about the breakaway civilization. Therefore, the government knows who and what they are.
He was told about the what I refer to as the lost civilization, the lost people, yeah.
Okay, so the government knows what's going on here.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, in my opinion, it seems like they would have to. It makes sense that they would. You know, look at all the underground, you know, this is part of the research on my new book also. I've really gotten into the, you know, looking at the available information that's out there on the underground bases and stuff. You know, they've done so much down there, and then based on what my uncles told me, you know, yeah, of course they know about them. And
Walter, do you think there's a complete underground, you know, transportation system, that sort of thing that's been suggested by some of the, you know, more conspiratorial Hollow Earth people?
Here's where I'm at right now. This has intrigued me for many years. And at heart, and in my gut, I lean towards that camp, that there's something here. There's something going on down there that, you know, we don't know about that would, you know, would amaze people. Now, to the extent that there is some global, you know, almost underground, subterranean, you know, rail system, I don't know about that. I don't know if I'm convinced of that. Now, that's beside the point that it's very possible, it appears possible that, you know, our government since World War II has built something like that that would surprise us all probably as to its extent to move missiles around and personnel from one underground installation to another. But, you know, that's just stretches of 100 miles or so. That's not a whole global thing. And in my Burton book, Lost Expedition of Sir Richard Francis Burton, I talk about some of the problems with this ancient tunnel system is, you know, how much of it is still intact with various, you know, earthquakes and shifting of the continents. How much of it would still be connected, or would it be big chunks that have been disconnected? So, you know, you have to consider issues like that. Yeah, where I'm at on this is my gut tells me at this point in my studies and what I know is that there's, to some degree, I suspect there's something down there, but to what extent I can't say.
Well, we have a question from Greer's Meeting Planner. I love that name.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to know if you could tell us who the current head of the breakaway civilization is, because Mr. Greer would like to meet him and brief him on the reality of the UFO phenomenon for a small fee, of course.
Oh, that's some good humor there.
Well, it's Greer's meeting planner, so he's trying to set up a meeting, I guess.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. Next question?
Well, we'll get to more questions later. I just had to kind of throw that in since we were talking about the
right.
breakaway civilization and its possible links to some sort of subterranean presence. You've noticed, I'm sure, in your research, Walter, that almost every major culture and on the planet has a tradition of underground-dwelling intelligent beings, whether they be right. reptilian types with the Nagas and the or insectoid types like the ant people from the Southwest public tradition, right. To the moon-faced people that escaped the Cherokee and were chased underground,
yes.
For instance. And you can go around the world. It's in Africa. You have traditions among the Aborigines in Australia. There's even, I think, some talk about lava tube dwelling diminutive beings in Hawaii.
In Europe and in the British Isles, too.
They're right, and they're supposedly a tunnel system that goes from Scotland to Greece or Turkey. Yep. I don't know how they got under the Bosphorus, but that's a whole other question. Where do you see the tie-ins possibly originating from? Do you think that this possible subterranean civilization became high-tech and more advanced than the surface dwellers did and possibly developed high technology maybe millennia before we did? Or I mean, what does your research tell you about connecting points?
My research, as I've laid out in Origin and I touched on in the Burton book before that, is basically my position is this, is that a long, long time ago, you know, this other race comes here, they bring their, from another planet, wherever. They come here, they bring their civilization's technology here, and then at the point that they leave or fall or whatever, at the point that they go away, they have left behind remnants of this. Also, with the Earth-based human civilization that they have managed to bring up to a certain level. And in my opinion, at this point in time, is that that Earth-based civilization that had been brought up by this off-world civilization, they then picked up the baton and continued with developing this technology.
We've got more to come with Walter Bosley and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved
loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for longevity for over 17 years, since before it was longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Walter Bosley telling us about the interactions with off-world people and the breakaway civilization. Explain more about that, because at the beginning of your book, you talk about ancient astronauts, about the elder ones. So go ahead, please.
Yes, basically in origin, 19th century emergence of the 20th century breakaway civilizations, I say that the extraterrestrial thread and connection to all of this that I talk about in the book is way back in human history, way back. As I was just saying a moment ago, you know, that off-world civilization came here. They brought up Earth human civilization up to a certain level. And when they vacated, for whatever reason, that Earth human civilization carried the baton forward and continued developing this technology to a particular level of advancement, you know, with artificial light and flying machines and, you know, the things you can imagine. And then that civilization, for whatever reason, it could have been the cataclysm, it fell. Okay, and then human beings, after that little dark period, so to speak, they began to look for the and find the remnants of that fallen civilization that was the product of the off-world influence, and they sought to put this stuff back together and rediscover it and make it work again. And that, you know, of course, leads into what I talk about was going on in the 19th century with the Royal Society, with the Prussian NIMSA and all that, and that led to the two breakaways that I think exist and really are the breakaway civilizations that we're talking about when we're talking about, you know, all this mysterious breakaway civilization stuff in our times. I think it's these two that emerged from the United States and from Germany in the 19th century. And their tradition is that they come from this centuries-long attempt to recapture the lost technology of that forgotten human civilization.
Is this like an Atlantis, Lemuria, or something like that?
It would be this forgotten civilization that I'm talking about, not truly forgotten, of course, when you look at those traditions. This would be that civilization that, you know, we think of as Atlantis. Again, going back to Plato's story of it and stuff, that somewhere at the core of all this Atlantis Lemuria stuff, somewhere in there, in my opinion, is a core of fact that there really was an advanced civilization.
It puts Plato's allegory of the cave into in kind of under a new light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to speak. Well, here's an interesting question from Digital Trickster, who always manages to come up with some interesting questions. And he's wondering if you have a sense of what the end game of this breakaway civilization might be. Do you think that they'll continue to just stay behind the scenes pulling strings, and to what end, or that one day they're going to actually reveal themselves? And if so, what would cause that?
I think some compelling circumstance. It would require a compelling circumstance for them to reveal themselves so openly. Now, as I've written, as I've, you know, said before, of the two breakaway civilizations which I have examined and presented my opinions on, it is the Prussian one associated with this mysterious Nimza that I think is more interested in having its hands in our lives, our world as we know it. And their end game, in my opinion, is, you know, essentially domination, political and social. The other one, the one that I call the 1903 or the American group, I think when they took off in the early 20th century, they were sincere about really just wanting to go off and do their own thing. They don't really want to stay here and lord it over us, in my opinion. I think they just wanted to go do their own thing. I can understand that. I probably would do the same thing if I could. I think the other group, that group that, you know, was started by this Prussian organization called NIMSA, you know, I think they were the ones who were really essentially the power, the influence behind the rise of the Nazis. And I think that this mysterious NIMSA is the organization that's behind the Nazi International, which Joseph Farrell has written extensively about. So, you know, from there you can figure out, you know, whose intentions are what.
So we're thinking about Project Gas Buggy in 1966, where the El Paso Gas Company, in concert with the Atomic Energy Commission, detonated a 47-megaton nuclear device under Dulce. Maybe they were trying to take out an ant's nest instead of free up gas and oil.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, unless it was – they were doing some other, you know, sneaky weapons stuff. And they, you know, they muddied the public perception of that. But, who knows? You know, Gene, it goes back to the Darrows and the Taros, you know. Maybe maybe there are some bad Darrows down there, and these stories of these wars and battles have something to them. It's hard to tell.
Well, now, the other thing is, if there is warfare among breakaway civilizations, plural, mm-hmm, how does that impact the surface?
Interesting. Because when you look at that concept, you have to say, wow, it's interesting that if this is going on, they're keeping it, you know, off planet, as near as we can tell. And, you know, at what point would it serve the purpose of one or both of them to just say, you know, screw it, these people need to grow up and know that we exist, or whatever, for whatever purpose. I think it impacts us in our advancement of technology. I think that this advance of technology we've had in the last little over 100 years actually now, going on 120, 130 years, I think is what you're talking about. It is a huge clue that these breakaways are out there and that there is some type of conflict that is driving development of certain, you know, technologies. Now, some people point to the world wars and they say, well, you know, why didn't they reveal themselves then, particularly in World War II? Well, you know, I've argued and I say that in a way, NIMSA did through the Nazis. You know, they might not have come out and said, we are the NIMSA and this, that, and the other, but
we come from Ultima Thule.
Yeah, exactly. What they tried to do that with the Nazis, see? They used the Nazis as, you know, front guys for whatever reason, or they saw the Nazis as, you know, very intelligent, useful idiots, you know, for whatever their objectives actually are.
Intelligent, useful idiots. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it?
No, not really. let's say highly educated and skilled useful idiots, because the world is full of highly educated and skilled idiots, you know.
Boy, you're telling me.
So,
and a lot of them are running for president.
But they often do, right?
They are rising to the level of their incompetence.
Well, here's another question from Digital Trickster. Do you think it's possible that one or both of these breakaway civilizations will create a massive global false flag event, like such as an alien invasion, as the example he gives? And if so, why would they do this? Just for control purposes, or...
Let me do our break here, and we'll go into the answer from Walter Bosley. The book is Origins. We're learning all about breakaway civilizations and their possible influence on society and the things they're pulling and more with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Grumpy Chris is getting grumpier than ever. I shouldn't have started that calling him Grumpy Chris. I've created a monster. Before we have Walter's response, by the way, to the question from Digital Trickster, we have a special feature that we offer to our listeners called the Paracast Plus. To find out more, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We offer a commercial-free version of this show with better quality audio, the After the Paracast podcast. Videos are coming. We have one up already. Show transcripts, a lot more. A low subscription rate. As they say with Mad Magazine, our price cheap. Plus.theparacast.com. Walter Bosley, a response to that question.
Okay, yes. I think if any group of the two was going to do such a thing, it would be NHMSA. And I think they already have started doing things like that. Look at 9/11. You know, my position is that 9/11 was an act by NHMSA through the hands of their Nazi International, and that's just one example.
We only think that a group of people from Saudi Arabia under the control of bin Laden did this. The thing I wonder is how you can take...
They were involved.
They were involved. How so?
They were the first level of a multi-level operation. Let's say they were the Lee Harvey Oswalds of the thing. Now, I'm not saying that that releases them of all culpability in their hand in it. Remember, on this level, you had these guys who, even though it was BS, were willing to do this, okay? Whoever it was, they were willing to do their part of it. So, to me, that makes them creepy bastards on their own. Now, because they were duped, is just delightful to me. The fact that they were, the idea that they were being used and sacrificed and among the slaughter, I find, you know.
Joseph Farrell's new book, he goes yes. even a step further. He says that the puppet string pullers were actually puppets themselves. And
I love that.
Three-tiered conspiracy.
Yeah, the first level of that were these Saudi Arabian morons, you know, that were willing to do this. in the name of their stupidity. And then you had the guys who thought, you know, they were pulling all the strings, that would have been the, you know, among them would have been the, and this I find particularly heinous, because being an Air Force officer, being a former OSI agent, and you know, being in that structure, I just, words don't describe what I feel about the idea that there were moles providing the information on, you know, this exercise and that deployment and stuff like that. I used to try to hunt those people when I was, you know, on duty in that. But those guys doing all that, they were just being used to make the bigger event happen. They were just facilitating for the third.
Right, which Farrell says was almost right. Like a cult ritual.
Yeah. 9/11 was a ritual of human sacrifice on just a massive scale. That's exactly what it was. I've written about that on my blog, empiretheweald.blogspot.com, a couple of years ago, and I write about it. I include that info in Origin, and I highly recommend Joseph's book, Hidden Finance, Rogue Networks, and Secret Sorcery, The Fascist International 9/11 and Penetrated Operations. That's Joseph Farrell's most recent book. There's a lot of stuff in there. You know, I've had the good fortune over the last few years, he and I have had many late-night conversations burning the midnight oil.
Including one in Laughlin, I think, or you, me, Greg, and Joseph were ripping on some stuff.
Yeah, you know, talking about this, and I was so glad to see, you know, his book on it finally come out. But yes, absolutely, I've been convinced that 9/11 was a black magic psyop, and they used an advanced technology to bring those towers down. It was not, you know, Bush and Cheney did not bring those towers down. I mean, for and it wasn't guys who, you know, construction demolition technology that did that to those towers. They were disintegrated. They were pulverized and dustified. Joseph and Joseph Farrell has talked about this. Also, the book by Judy Wood, Where Have the Towers Gone, is just so essential for people interested in this to take a look at. It's there, but admittedly, it's one of those things that is so big and so bizarre that I totally understand when people just reject it, when they just spit it out of their mouth, and it, I understand when that concept pisses some people off. I totally get it, because it is something that it can really scare the hell out of people on a level that, you know, they think there's no hope and all that stuff.
It's beyond the pale.
Now, yes. Let me ask you here. Then, if this is what happened with 9/11, does that mean that Bush and Cheney were influenced by these other forces, or just took advantage of the civilization to attack Afghanistan and Iraq?
Both.
I don't go too deep into the weeds on the whole Bush and Cheney thing. They don't. They didn't. They don't scare me. I never really lost sleep over those two.
Dick Cheney frightens the hell out of me.
it is exactly, you know, what it is. These are people that are, you know, they're on that level of political power, and we all know that, you know, in general, particularly in our times, the last 50 or 60 years, you know, you've got to, and this is by no means new, you know, not like it didn't go on before then, but particularly in our times, you know, they have to
power corrupts. Ultimate power corrupts, absolutely.
They have to swim in dirty waters, and you know, whatever I think, I was in Iraq and during the war, and you know, it dawned on me then when I'm standing at the top of the Ziggurat of Ur, the reconstructed Ziggurat of Ur, that I realized, wait a minute, isn't it interesting that all the places where we've had major battles and stuff like that, it seems like is where, you know, these lost civilization stories and, you know, wonders of the war, that kind of thing. Gosh, are they actually trying to, you know, recapture stuff like that? And, you know,
we all know we went into Iraq to find the Stargates and appropriate them for the next sci-fi series. Show
and to also, you know, you know, establish roots for that military-industrial economy, you know, to boot on top of what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely.
We got to sell bullets. We got to sell bombs. Make lots of money. Get a guy paid $30,000 to fire a $500,000 weapon at a guy that makes $5 a week. I just love the irony.
Now, let me ask you here, since that's where it all began with the Iraq War, the Islamic State, the rise of the Islamic State, which I think some trace back to 2004 with a split off from Al-Qaeda, is that just things taking their course, or are there influences from these underground civilizations?
Oh, this did not actually more than a particular breakaway civilization, to be specific. The Iraq War is not where, you know, ISIS began, and Afghanistan is not really the beginning of the tradition of Al-Qaeda and such. This again has been in the details have been laid out by Joseph Farrell, and I know some people hate when I refer to his stuff, you know, too bad. This ties to the Nazis, and not just the proposed Nazi International, to the actual World War II known Nazis. They are the ones who really, Otto Skorzeny was among this, who really pushed the modern concept of jihad. Yeah. We can thank
in the 40s.
The World War II. Yeah, we can thank the World War II era Nazis for this modern jihad, philosophy of jihad that we have been dealing with. Right. And, you know, it's not that it started with the Iraq War. It started with 9/11. 9/11 was the sort of the blackmail operation on top of it, you know, the magic thing. It was you will do this and this from now on. And, you know, from there, the world has just been nothing but, you know, a lot of, you know, mostly a crap hole for the last 16 years.
Well, I find it interesting that the Defense Department's radical group is being armed by us to fight another armed group that's that's being under the control of the intelligence agencies. And the only winners in this whole thing are the weapons manufacturers and the ammunition companies.
just like Eisenhower said, right?
Let's do our break, and we'll get more into that. With Gene and Chris and Walter Bosley, you're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.